So when it doesn't work, I have no idea. But God was good. He sent a nice policeman and also a nice lawyer who lived in the neighborhood. We had good talks and so on and so forth. So we had a lot of fun. God turns everything to good news. Amen? Everything. This year, the whole year, I'm going to be studying, that is, I'm going to share out of the book of Galatians. After prayer, God, which book? Could be any book. How many know that any book in the Bible says the same thing? So you actually could read just anywhere and you'll get the same message. So what I'm going to share out of the book of Galatians is very simple because it's the gospel, it's the good news. And this good news is based on two things. Number one, first thing that it's based on are the Ten Commandments. So that's one set of commandments. That's another set of commandments. So, but we call that the law. So the law, I don't know if you can read that. Law. So the law tells me what to do and then tells me what happens if I don't. And then there's the gospel. And the gospel is, I'm going to use blood here, red. The gospel is the cross of Jesus Christ. The good news that instead of me dying because I didn't keep the law, Jesus decided to die for me. And that was God, his Father's will. So that I wouldn't have to die. You wouldn't have to die. We could just rely upon Jesus dying for us. So the law and the gospel, those are the two kinds of righteousness that God has put on the earth. Now there's actually others, political righteousness and so on, ceremonial under the Mosaic law and all that. But these laws, no matter where they come from, are one way to be righteous is behave yourself. And that's the common way. So that's even Christians that believe in the gospel still fall back under the law. Most Christians, I would say 90%, live under a law. In other words, they're trying to behave themselves in their own strength, in their own power. And the problem with that is you can't. The problem with that, you can't do it. Because the law says something like this, be perfect. It's like, huh? Forget that. And he means 24/7 and, all the time and you never get to sin at all. And so, how many know that whether you try to sin or not to sin, you're going to? That's all there's to it. You're just not perfect. And so, God deliberately did that. He knows what he's doing. And he likes the fact, he loves the fact that everybody's guilty. Did you hear what I just said? Everybody can, you can only come to him as a sinner. You can't come to him unless you're a pastor. You can't come to him as a righteous person. Because under the law, no one is perfect. Nothing is made perfect under a law because all the pressure is on you to behave. Whereas the gospel is the opposite. The gospel is another kind of righteousness which God approves of. As a matter of fact, it's the one he wants you to come to. When the first one doesn't work, the second one is still available. Where God makes a promise that he'll do an atonement for you. He'll pay. Instead of you paying, law of sin and death, he'll die. So you don't have to die. And he'll give you his life so you don't have to have some kind of eternal life because you only have temporal life. So you don't need to earn it. Under the law, you can get it as a free gift under the gospel. So this teaching, which you hear all the time, I do it every Sunday, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is I have to behave. The good news is I don't have to. The good news is I don't need a law. I won't follow it if I get one because I'm just not God. Only God really can keep his own law. If he wants someone to be perfect, he needs to do it himself, right? So we're not under a law if you go to number two up there. So the reason Moses came was to tell you the law. Behave yourself, you know, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We got them all over the place. Thou shalt not, you know, take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We have, you know, on and on and on. Thou shalt not steal and lie and cheat and so on. But we do all those things. Even if you don't do them outwardly, you're doing them inwardly. Even if you did them outwardly, you still inwardly, for some reason, I don't know what it is, we just don't want to behave. There's just something in us. I'm not speaking to anybody in particular, but I'm just saying all of us in general, there's a stubbornness in us that doesn't want to do, well, for example, I like to live my own life sometime. I don't always have to live God's life. You know, what about me? It's just like, I just want to have my own way. Sometimes I want to get angry and say things I shouldn't and do things I ought not. But I just do it. And even if I don't do it, I'm thinking it. I'm feeling it. I just wish I could. And so if you marry somebody, and please don't get married at all, unless you understand what I'm about to say, if you marry somebody that's wicked and sinful and boring and, you know, shallow and whatever else, and argumentative, it'll bring out your own devils. It'll bring out your worst side. You have a nice side and a worst side. It'll come out the worst side, and pretty soon that's all you got is a worst side. You don't have any nice side anymore. You lose all your humor. When people lose their sense of humor, that's about when they're going to split. I mean, that's about it. It's like, I can't stand you anymore, and I can't stand myself with you anymore, the way you bring out the worst side in me. So I'm going to ditch you and do something else. And even if you don't actually leave, you're going to be miserable the rest of your life. I'll punish them. So how many know God deliberately set up the law to make you guilty? Now, he didn't make you guilty. He just exposed the fact that you are. And there's not anybody ever born in the whole earth at any time that's ever been perfect. None. None. So I'm going to say some strong, strong things today in order to make clear what God is saying. He knows what he's doing. He gives you the law, not so that you'll do it. Thank God for that. He never gave a law for any man on earth to do. Even though it looks like he did. I know what it says. It says behave yourself, you know, this and that and so on and so forth. But he actually didn't intend that. He never intended for anyone to keep that law. Dot, dot, dot. Without him. He didn't intend for you on your own, independent of God, to do what he said. He was wanting you to say, God, I can't. I don't want to. Whether I can or not, I don't want to. How many know there are just times you want to be angry? And, you know, it doesn't even have to be prompted by anything. You can just, you know, be angry. You can actually be with people that are just angry all the time. It's amazing. I don't know. I love it. It's fun. If you get in an elevator, you know, and you say something like this, hallelujah. You'll find people hate you for that. I mean, they do not like that or appreciate that. You know, so they happy people make them mad. Are you aware of that? I mean, when someone's happy all the time, you just hate them. This is just something in us says, I hate you. You know. You big smiley, phony person. You know, there's something in us that just doesn't like that, that somebody's perfect all the time and they're always doing good. Amen? Y'all, are you with me? All right. Now, the reason God gave the law was so you could see that you were no good and that even though he's good, you're going to need his mercy through the gospel. You're going to need some help. You're going to need God to do something for you. So Galatians, but I could use Romans or Corinthians or any other book, Old Testament or New, to show you that the law was given not so you'd do it, but so that you wouldn't do it and then you'd be guilty. Isn't that amazing? Could you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Okay, So what's the purpose of the law? To show you your sin, to expose you. Moses exposes. So there it is. That's all he does. So Moses just points the finger. You weren't perfect today. No, you were not perfect. All right, you're going to die now. That's sorry. Sin and death. You sin, you die. So you can tell that Moses is not in your favorite, you know, fan club thing, because he's always pointing out some error, some sin. In fact, the whole book, the whole Bible is 3/4 all about what not to do and, you know, what you're supposed to do, but you didn't. And you didn't do it with all your heart. You didn't do it with all your soul. And you didn't do it with all your mind and your might and your strength. And you can't even remember the 10. If you remembered them, you can't get them in order. And so God deliberately did that so that nobody could do it. And then he'd have to say, okay, I'm guilty. Okay, I'm not perfect. And every little kid that grows up wants to behave. They want to do what's right, but they just find sooner or later they don't want to. Right? And no matter how nice you are to them and take care of them, so on, the little kid is going to sooner or later rebel. Who don't want to? When they do that, you just want to smack them. I mean, in the Lord. Smack them in the Lord. You just want to say, you know, you just want to put your hand around their neck. Don't defy me. How many know that kids just will do it? And then they stay that way for years and years. And some people stay that way and they're old. There's nothing like a cranky old person. Amen. They just walk around with a long face. Miserable. Now, God actually loves that person. God loves people that he told what to do and told them what would happen if they didn't do it. And then they didn't do it, and he comes and says, it's okay. I forgive you. Isn't that amazing? We have a weird God. Buddha's not like that. I'm going to just tell you right now. Buddha is not like that. The Muslim religion is not like that. You have to do what they say or else. But ours is the only God that tells you what to do, and then we disobey. He tells you what's going to happen if you disobey. And then he says, but, you know, in case you don't, he's got another plan. So plan B up there is the gospel, and the law is what you're supposed to do, but you can't. You don't want to. And you didn't. And you weren't perfect. And you weren't perfect every day and every minute of every second of every day. And you wanted to live your own life every once in a while. Does anybody here ever want to take a little vacation from God? You know, just like, I'm really, you know, it's the same old message every Sunday, you know, about the good news, which makes me mad and angry, you know. There's just something about it that, I don't know why, we just wear out quickly. So, there are different ways you can respond. Let me see here. There are different ways you can respond. The first way, which you know, is the sinner way. And that's where I express my flesh. That's a sinner. How many here ever express, you know, you just want to yell and you yell, or you just want to pout and you pout, or you want to feel sorry for yourself, or you want to get angry or whatever. And so that, we call that the sinner chair. And so this chair over here is very bad. We'll put this over here by itself. That as a sinner, don't do that. Don't express yourself. Nobody cares about you. You know, let's say you're a self-pitying person. Nobody likes you. And then you feel sorry for yourself that nobody likes you. You're just not going to get any sympathy because they don't care about you. They care about themselves. Does anybody notice that? But here's the worst chair. This one is another variation on the same theme. It's called the hypocrite chair. This one doesn't express their flesh. The hypocrite suppresses their flesh and behaves on the outside, even though they hate you on the inside and angry and everything else. On the outside, they behave like they go to church and stuff like that. So, but you're just a hypocrite because you really don't love anyone any more than those people hate everyone. You're the same. So everybody's got pride. Everybody. Everybody's proud that they're not like somebody else. Well, thank God I'm not like her. Thank God I'm not like him. You know, everybody is proud that, you know, I have something going for me that nobody else seems to have. I think I'm unique. How many believe that you're actually a good person, or, you know, you're smarter than somebody else, or you're stronger, or, you know, there's something you can be proud of. Amen? And that you can look on and kind of look down on other people and despise them. That is a hypocrite that hides it and says, well, God bless you. And then you're not really thinking that. You're just thinking that's what I need to say so they don't hit me, or so that I can use them some more or whatever. How many understand that? So hypocrite chair is actually the same as a sinner chair. It's just that this one puts on a mask and this one is just open about it. And we don't like people that are openly sinful or wicked. Amen? I mean, it irritates us when people sin and then they put a smile on their face. You know, you don't even deserve to be here. You know, there's something irritating about someone who sins. They do everything wrong, and yet they're fine. It just makes you mad. Is that not the case? You know, I mean, there's something judgmental about you that when you see somebody doing something wrong, you want them to get it. Like, hey, you deserve hell. You deserve what you got. You deserve that, because look what you did. Look what kind of life you're living. And so there's something non-forgiving in all of us, because we just don't like certain people. We don't like to be around them. You're not saying amen. This is a good time to be a Baptist. I wish I had more Baptists. Amen, Pastor, amen. Because I have to catch you, first of all, in order to give you the good news. I have to give you the bad news first. So the bad news is everybody's a sinner. Everybody. And everybody that's a hypocrite is just a liar. All they're doing is suppressing the flesh, but as soon as you turn the corner, they go, I hate that person. You know, they just, or they think it, or whatever. And but while they're with you, they're so nice and kind. God bless you. And nice seeing you today in church and so on. But they actually despise you and hate you. And they can't even stand that you are there. Or why don't you come more often? I mean, there's just something you have that's mean and nasty. Does anybody notice that? You don't even have to even practice this. It'll just kind of come out. Just kind of blurp right out. And if you hold it back, you look Christian. But if you express it, you're definitely no good. But the truth is, the guy that's looking down on me, the hypocrite looking down on the sinner, is actually the same as the sinner. And you know what the sinner is thinking? You hypocrite. You know. So let's say he's outside in the gutter here, and he's been drinking all night, and he's laying there, and we all come into church, step over him. I know somebody's going to think this. You know, you don't even deserve to live. You know, you shouldn't even be here. Do you know you're at our church? Could you go over across the street or something? And so people don't like everybody. Does anybody notice that? There's just certain people you don't like. Funeral directors, mechanics. I mean, there's just certain people you don't like, pastors. And so God loves that he has that kind of a world. He loves that kind of world because that's the only one he's got. That was the one that he wanted everyone to behave, but they didn't. Now, here's what you didn't know, that before the world was even created, before he even gave this law, he already knew what everybody was going to think and say and do and feel and act. He knew everything. And he went ahead and created us anyway. And so he gave us the law not to make us behave, but to make us realize we're not behaving the way he wanted. So you'd feel guilty. You'd feel bad. Or you'd know you were bad even if you didn't feel it. So whether you're a sinner and you don't care, or whether you're a hypocrite and you're pretending, it doesn't make any difference. We're all the same. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Everybody has sinned. So it's no big deal when you point out somebody, yeah, well, look what she did. And there are certain people in the church here that merit our censorship. You know, it's just like, what are you even doing here? Why did you even come? You know, it's so obvious. They're so obvious. And we have favorite sins that we hope other people, that we don't do, but we can see other people doing those, and then we can judge them, criticize them. But God doesn't want that. What God wants you to do is just forget what anybody else hasn't done or has done. Just take care of your own sin. How many here in this first, I'm just going to use this row as an example. This is just an example. This is not real. We didn't rehearse this. This is just spontaneous. But have you ever sinned?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was too easy. how about you? Have you ever sinned? Same? As bad as her? Probably. What do you mean, probably? It's good. Edie, I don't even need to say. Have you ever sinned? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, I know you have not.
Once.
Okay. I have an idea. I know what that one was. When? Okay. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Looks like God's telling the truth on that one. So if everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, then the only thing left is death. Sin, die. The wages of sin, death. The law of sin and death. Law of sin. You sin, you die. So there it is. He created everybody knowing they would eat of the tree, knowing they wouldn't behave themselves, knowing they would sin deliberately and rebel against him. He knew that. So don't ever be shocked or surprised at yourself or anyone else who acts out of character, or who acts in a way that's completely stupid and wrong. Don't do it. Because with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. If you judge somebody else, God knows something about you that you don't know that he knows, because he reads your heart. And he can tell the difference between a hypocrite and just a plain old cold, nasty sinner, chair one. Now, chair three is, if you're either of those two chairs, you need to change your mind. Now, you see on here, I have this guy who's moving away from the law to the gospel. He's moving from the law, telling me what to do, because he didn't do it. And then he's turning to the gospel for mercy, saying, you know, I need this mercy thing over here. So that's repentance. You change your mind. So this is for chair one and chair two. So y'all know this, because I've taught it 10,000 zillion times, but it's very, very important. Do I have enough chairs? Yeah, very good. This is the goal right here, is that God intended for everybody, this was his original intention, to have everybody sit on the throne with him and be his stewards on earth while he was in heaven. So we would be on earth, and we'd be ruling and reigning forever and ever and so on and so forth. So that's for everybody. Now, however, in order to get there, let's see, I think I'll pull this back. In order to get there, we need to go through these three chairs. So, all right, this chair here is faith. Now watch. The first chair is express my sin. The second is suppress my sin. But the third chair is crucify my sin. Which one is the good one? Okay, so to express my sin, you know it's bad. It's not going to lead to happiness for anybody. To suppress it and pretend like you're, you know, really a good person deep down, but you just sin every once in a while a little bit, but basically you're a wonderful person. That means your righteousness is active. In other words, I'm still doing good things better than others, and I can judge other people then. This one here says, I'm so bad, like chair one, that I need to have a Savior that will forgive me, and not only that, not only will he forgive me, and I'm passive because there's nothing I can do to help him, but also he needs to then change me if he wants me to behave, and not just forgive me, but change me and use his rod and his staff to destroy all the sin that's in me, because I can't. I can't stop sinning. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't do it. So he needs to do it. And finally, then, I'll become a lover, caring for everybody, one and two. And so because God wants me to love, he has to kill me off in this chair here, number five. He has to kill me off so that I'm no longer not just forgiven for the sin, but I no longer love sin. I'm no longer letting it rule. I may sin, but I'm not going to let it rule. I'm going to confess it right away. God, okay, I did wrong again. Forgive me. I'm sorry. How many know very few Christians do that? Very few Christians actually do that. Now, I know everybody does it once in a while, but that should be a daily thing. Every day you should see new sin. You know, something new that you have done, and maybe even did it the day before and you've repeated it. Have you ever done that?
This morning.
This morning? I don't know why. Good choice on my part to come right to you. Yeah. So, yeah.
Take care of it right now.
Yeah, it's kind of
before we go to church.
Typecasting. Yeah. So, this sinner right here actually repeats. You've repeated the same sin sometimes. And every day we have a new sin.
I come up with them.
You do?
Doesn't
she provoke you? Isn't it her fault sometimes? Yeah. Most of the time. Amen. Does he say that? You don't believe that, though. Do you believe you deserve it?
Do I deserve it?
Yeah. I mean, hasn't he gone overboard a few times? No. She said maybe. You didn't hear that. She had to rethink that. So God is not disturbed. The only reason I can make fun of all this stuff is because God's not disturbed by your sin. He has a plan here, plan B, gospel, 4, 5, and 6. That's the gospel. The good news, that's the bad news. This is the good news. Over here is sin and death. He knows that that's going to take care of everybody. So what he does is he then has Jesus come and he dies for me. So I sin, he dies. I sin, he dies. I do wrong, he gets the spanking. So I like that idea. I have faith in a God like that. I have faith in a God like that. Because I can't, if I'm a sinner, an open sinner, I can't stop. I'm addicted. How many know people that are addicted? And you can just tell them, that is so stupid, stop that. It won't make any difference. Because they're just going to do it anyway. And if they don't do it outwardly, they'll do it inwardly. You can make people hypocrites easy, but they're on the outside saying just what you want them to say, but as soon as you turn your back, they're doing what they want, or they're at least thinking about it. Amen? So we have a God that's so smart, he knows exactly all those little tricks and games that we have, and that we're not at all doing anything he wanted. We are actually all rebelling against him. You know, it's like God, we're trying to put him out of business. Not only are we not doing what he says, we want to kill him off. Do you know people wanted to kill Jesus? They said, we can't get God the Father. We can at least get the kid down here. That's his son, isn't it? Yeah, let's kill him. And so Jesus came to the earth in order to die. He knew it. He knew, before his father sent him, he said, by the way, you're going to go down and you're going to be with relatives. Ooh. I mean, know that your relatives can kill you quicker than an enemy. I mean, the people in your own family, your own, you know, immediate family. Now, people can get you because they know everything about you, or they think they do. Oh, I love it. So this, in this church, we want people to be wicked and sinful.
Amen.
And thank you all. I appreciate it. Very good. Very good people. You've done your best. We have hypocrites here. We have open sinners. You know, we got the whole array. If we could just get along with each other, we could get along with anybody. Because we got some really bad people here. Now, here's the beauty, is that God doesn't have to, under any law, forgive you. Just wants to. In other words, there's nothing that you've done to merit his mercy. Like in the Catholic religion, and I'm not picking on them, I'm just using them as an illustration. You get mercy, but only if you earn it. But in the true Christianity, that's not true. That's a lie. According to the Bible, which I'm going to read to you in a little while, that Bible is your faith is in Jesus Christ. You didn't even ask for it. He forgave you before you were even born. He provided this mercy because it's always been in God. He never intended for any human being to keep that law or to be good or not to kill his boy or not to eat of the tree. He knew you would do all of the things he said not to do, and you'd do none of the things he said to do. So it's up to God. He's the only guy that's free, because he gave the law of sin and death, and he means it, too. By the way, he cannot change on that. The holiness of God requires and demands that you keep that law or else. So how does he change that? Because he has to, because I can't, and I won't. How many know, even if you could, you wouldn't? Even if you could, you say, well, I don't even know if I can. Well, then you're innocent. Because if you don't know, you can. And you can't ask somebody who can't do something they can't. That would be an unjust God. But God's just. You could, but even if you could or not could, you won't anyway. It doesn't make any difference if I say, okay, everybody get to sin three times today. It doesn't make any difference because you're going to do it anyway. Or if I say, nobody gets to sin today, it's not going to make any difference because people are just going to do what they're going to do. And there'll be no exceptions. It's not like some people are better than others. Some people look like they're better than others. Hypocrites and liars. Phonies and fakes. Because everybody's chair one. There's not a person ever been born on the earth that's ever been anything but chair one. Not in the sense of open. No, because the hypocrites hide. And they pretend like they're the good people. And the only reason they use Jesus at all is just to kind of cover themselves with fig leaves. And so I drew some fig leaves on there. To kind of cover yourself and use the name of Jesus while you just took it in vain. You took his name in vain. It's one of the commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Well, you took his name. I'm a Christian. And yet you're a phony and a liar. Because you're not a Christian. Because you're not like Jesus at all. Jesus never sinned. Jesus never sinned. And so he sent him down here so we would kill him. Somebody like that that doesn't sin, I hate that person. I just hate people that, you know, are better than I am. Is anybody else like that? I have a problem with that. I love people to be equal to me or lower. But I hate it when they're better. I do. I despise that. Get down on my level here, you know. I like to have it. I love this church because I got a lot of low-life people here. This is bad people, nasty people. You know, I can start right here. And I just feel good when I'm with someone like this. I feel like we're equal or I'm a little bit better, I think. I think I'm a better. That's called pride. That's pride where I can lift myself up and say, you know, I'm better than you are. But the truth is, I'm not. The truth is we're all the same. The truth is we're all wicked, we're all shallow, we're all hypocrite, vain, you know, superficial, and so on and so forth. So God has a problem. We don't have a problem because God, we're just being ourselves. And he knew that. He knew when he created us we'd all be sinners or hypocrites. And therefore, he sent his son down to say, here's what I'm going to offer you. I want you not to be righteous actively, that is you yourself. I want you to be righteous passively. In other words, believe that my son is your righteousness. What he did on earth, that's your life. And when you come before me and I say, how'd you do? You say, innocent, perfect. I was perfect. And he's got books up there that says otherwise. He opens those books up and said, what about Thursday? You know, he got it all listed there. And every sin you've ever committed, God has a little registry up there, a little book. And it's right there, what you did. And he knows every thought, every feeling, every action, everything. He even knows what you were going to do. And none of it lines up with the book that he created before the world began, where he had a book, and that in that book, every good work you could ever do was written down. So that's you were to do all those good works when you were on the earth. That's why he created you. But he didn't force it. So therefore, being free, we used our freedom to be licentious. Everybody here is guilty of that. Nobody here said, gee, I'm free today to do whatever I want. I think I'll do something wonderful. You'd be a liar. Because even though you may act outwardly like you're being nice to people, inwardly, you're selfish. You're just thinking, I wonder what kind of reward I'm going to get. You know, if you do something good, you want credit for it. I'll tell you that right now. Everybody that's done good, because it's a hellish thing among people that are on the earth here today to behave yourself, because they're going to cheat you if they can. And it makes you mad after a while. Jeez, I've been good 3 days in a row. I think I'm quitting because it's not working. And a lot of people harden. A lot of people will harden themselves because they'll think, you know, what's the point of being good? Nobody even thanks you or cares. In fact, they seem to just abuse you and use you even all the more. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Could anybody say amen? Yeah. So God, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about God. Why would God set up a deal like that and then have this secret thing here of the gospel and say there's another kind of righteousness that's passive where you're not righteous, but Jesus is righteous for you and you believe in that and take it? Do you know that most people are not Christian? As good of news as what I just said, that Jesus died for everybody's sins. Very few people really love the guy and follow him. And maybe it's chair five that, I don't know if this is the thing blocking him or not, but in chair five, he wants to not just forgive me for my sin, but he wants to change me, but I have to agree to it. He won't do it if I don't agree. He won't force it. But if you're a Christian here and you've been born again, he says that, and you believe it. He says that, you're right with God. That's called justification. You're just with God. Everything is lined up perfectly with God. Even though you didn't do anything that I said, I had Jesus do everything that I wanted you to do for you. And then I wanted him to do in you. And then I wanted him to do it through you. So for you, in you, through you. I wanted him to justify you, then sanctify you, then glorify you, so that men would see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Now, everybody here is a Christian. I just want you to know, if you're trusting God, nothing keeps you from doing five, trusting him while you're going through suffering and fire and troubles and chastening and difficulties and problems. Here's what you do when your car stops in the middle of the, you know, superhighway thing. You just go, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I didn't do that, actually, this morning. I actually didn't do that, but I teach it. But it's just a teaching. It's just a teaching. It's a total cheat. But for some reason, something else came out. And I knew right away that was probably the wrong thing. I was supposed to say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But instead, I was saying something like this. God, deliver us now, quick. Create a gas station right here or do something, you know. And it's Sunday, so anyway. I actually said these words Peggy can say. I said, God, just create one. I know there isn't one. And we were on this road in Las Colinas that has no gas stations on it. There was nowhere I could pull in and say, what's my problem or whatever else. And so, anyway, God is good. But even if you sin with God after you're a Christian, even if you sin, it's still God's problem. It's not yours. I just want you to know this. You're not under a law. So, I don't have any law that I'm under. So I can't do wrong, even though I did wrong. I can't do wrong. Under the law, I did wrong, but I didn't do wrong under the gospel, because under the gospel, God loves me instead of me loving him. And not only that, he said, I will make you to love me, but if you don't want me to, I'll stop. But if you let me do it, I will do it. I'm just, when I show you a sin, it's just so I'm going to show you what I'm working on. This is what I'm working on right now. You got an anger problem? I'm working on it. Say, hey, go ahead, Jesus. You can get rid of it, but if you don't do it, I'll be mad. And, you know, he doesn't care. It's just as long, it's okay. I don't care if you get mad again, but here's the deal. I love you. You know, sometimes the love of God can make you angry. Do you know? I mean, he's always just like, God, if you think I'm going to appreciate it, you're wrong. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Has anybody ever had this thought? Don't raise your hand or anything, but I'm just saying. It's like, look, you cannot ever make God mad. Never, ever, ever. I don't care what you do or don't do. You can't make God angry at you. He can be angry at the sin you did, but not at the person who did it. Do y'all see that? But this should be good news for some of you who have tried a lot to behave, but you can't. Could I see a show of hands? Everybody. 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 You actually woke up in the morning thinking, I'm going to serve the Lord today. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to read the Bible. What? What time is it? You know, and all of a sudden you forgot what you just said you were going to do, and you're off to a bad start. Right? God doesn't care. God sent Jesus to live a perfect life for you. That's your life. That is not his life. That's his life for me. That is my life. When I talk to God someday, I'm not going to talk as a sinner or a hypocrite. I'm going to come to him and say, God, I'm perfect. Now, if I'm perfect, I'm not just perfect in my heart, in my soul, in my body. I'm perfect in all three ways. So that God, who can do chair 4, can also do chair 5 because he's doing it. I'm not doing it, so it's perfect. He dies for me perfectly. He then changes me perfectly through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he loves other people through me perfectly. Well, I didn't do any of that. So if anything good ever happened, I give God all the credit. I give God all the glory. I just pray, thank you, God. And your thank you is all God ever wanted. He never wanted you to be good. And you know, thank God none of you were. But, hey, that's the way God is. And then he didn't care if you were a hypocrite. How many of you are hypocrites? Don't know. But how many of you are hypocrites where you actually have tried to please people? Dumb. You know why? Because you can't. I don't care how much you do for people, they want more. I tell you, they're the ones that will turn on you. You help somebody and you think, well, they'll appreciate this. And no, they won't. They'll just abuse you and abuse you and abuse you. And when it's all done, they'll do it some more. And then they'll accuse you. I love it. They abuse and then accuse. I love it. I love it. So, am I telling the truth or what? Okay, I borrowed all this out of the Bible. It's all in the Bible. That God actually wanted everybody, but no force. He wanted everybody to keep his law, but nobody ever kept it. Nobody. 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 And the really, really, really bad guys, Nimrod, you know, Satan people, he loves them too. Equal. Equal. So everybody, Jesus Christ died for the sins of all mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that everlasting life is not just chair 4, but also chair 5, but also chair 6, but he is responsible for all three. The good work he began in 4, he has to then keep it going in 5, and then perfect it in 6. That's his responsibility. He made the promise. We didn't. That's up to God. This is the book of Galatians. I'm just telling you the gospel, but it's true of all the books. But just Galatians. So are you ready for me to read it? Okay. Now, this book is so amazing to me because it right away, and I'm going to start in chapter 3. So if you want to turn to chapter 3, you can. Chapter 3. Oh, foolish, say it. I'm a fool. I'm a fool. We're all fools. Oh, foolish Galatian. But you don't have to be a Galatian to be foolish. You could be a Texan. Oh, foolish Texan. Because all of us are fools. How did we get fooled? Because we believe that the church wanted us to behave. In this church, you do not have to behave to be loved, to be rewarded. You could actually be the pastor of the church and not behave. So you could be, you could actually rise to the top in this church and be a sinner. That's amazing, Larry. You don't have to be a saint. Because the thing that makes you a saint is that Jesus is a saint for you. And then he is a saint working it in you. As long as you don't tell him not to, he will keep doing it. Because the good work he began, he'll complete. And then he's going to love others. And you get credit for all of what he did. He sowed and I reap. In other words, everything he did was for me. Everything. And his glory is not just to do this, forgive you, and then leave you be a sinner, but to change you so that sin no longer rules your life, and then even love others so that they give glory to God for your good works. And he did all of that for me. He did none of it for himself. Jesus never wanted anything for what he did. And it doesn't even need your thanks and praise and adoration. You do that whether you want to or not, because you can't believe that you believe that God did everything for you. And so you just go, thank you. You just do. I mean, you don't have to work at it because it's not required, because it's not part of the law. You don't have to do it under the law. This is a free thing. If you want to say it, you can just say it. Thank you. And I praise you for who you are. You're faithful and kind and just and merciful and so on. Most marriages fall apart because we not only sin ourselves and the other person sins, but we don't forgive them. We don't forgive them. But here, he makes it so that he actually changes people. Now, I know that in most marriages, once you do a wrong thing, people have a tendency not to ever forget it and to hold that against you. And even though you become a Christian and come here and you learn and you're taught, you know, how to do it differently and let Jesus do it all, even so, some people feel like you'll never change. You're not going to change. You say you're a Christian, but you're going to fall back. I know you are. And so they don't allow you to change. Like, okay, I forgot and I did it again, but I'm a Christian still. And I tell you, people will just judge you on that. Like, you know, you're a liar. You're not a Christian. How many know you judge by the deeds? And if people have a lot of good deeds, you might accept them a little bit. But if they have repeatedly sinned against you, you're not going to get forgiveness. I'm not going to give you any forgiveness. Don't you love that? I love people like that. I love people that are nasty like that. Do you love people that are nasty? How many love people that are nasty? Yeah, I'm the only one holding my hand up. Bill. Amen. Danny. That's good. Praise God. Oh, 3, 4, 5. That's 5 people. Praise God. If you don't love people that are nasty, you're in trouble. Because that's all you got. I mean, that's it. People are nasty, and they may not come out today or tomorrow, but they're going to come out sooner or later. And that nastiness is going to come out, and you better learn to forgive them right away. It's like immediately, hey, don't worry about it. You know, I've sinned worse than you. So that's the beauty of me being a pastor, is I've never met anyone as wicked as myself. Well, I could take that back. Danny, take that back. Chad, for sure. Hey, praise God, I'm feeling better already. I am wicked, cold, rebellious. I mean, you just name it. I've thought it or I've done it, one of the two. But I just haven't gotten around to it in all cases, but I will sooner or later. So you better get used to the fact that people are wicked and treat them like God would treat them. How does God treat a wicked person? He dies for them. Instead of him killing them, he kills his own son, his own beloved son, chair 4, and said, Jim, do you believe that I have completely forgiven you? And here, I've sent you my son. You killed him. I forgive you anyway. And Jesus said these words, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And these are people killing him deliberately. They know, yeah, he probably is the son of God. I'll kill him. I'm going to find out anyway. How many know, even if you knew he was the son of God, it wouldn't make any difference. Your sin would still be there. And the only way it goes away is by faith and then by discipleship or discipline or suffering or, you know, going through the fire and so on and so forth. And then after you're dead, then you resurrect by God's work, by God's power, knowing him in the power of his sufferings, chair 5, and in the power of his resurrection. There it is. There's the perfection of love, 4, 5, 6. God's love is so great that even though we're all ones, and some of us are pretending that we're twos, probably most people are pretending that we're twos, and then you have to repent of that, and repent doesn't mean stop sinning. Everyone thinks it does. Everyone. It doesn't mean stop sinning and start doing what's right. It doesn't mean that. It does not mean that. It means don't worry about it. It means be comforted. It means laugh. It means stop solving all your problems. Stop worrying about what you did right or wrong. Let me take care of you. I have a free gift for you. That's like Christmas time. That's like Christmas time. Everything at Christmas is you get it. You get the gift anyway, whether you're good or bad. You just get it because it's under the thing, and you have to get for relatives you don't like. I mean, Peggy's dad, you know, got one of those stockings, and the mother was so mad at him, she put coal in it. So that's a mean mother. Or she had a sense of humor. But Peggy was hurt from that. She was hurt by that. Mom, why did you put coal in Daddy's stocking? You know, she was a little girl, you know. That is wrong. And she felt bad, but she didn't actually probably say anything. She just felt bad for Dad. He got coal. What did he do wrong? You know, she loved him, but, yeah, obviously didn't know him real well. That mother knew him. This guy deserved coal. Putting it in. I love it. Do you love people that are sinful? Because you know what? God loves you as sinful. He doesn't think one has sinned more than another. He thinks all have sinned. I know outwardly it looks like this person is meaner and so on and so forth, but that's just nonsense. The truth is all have sinned and fallen short. And since perfection is the goal, any imperfection, let's say you have a new car, but some little kid runs his key along your car out in the parking lot while you're getting in there and getting your groceries. I don't know why, but just new cars seem to, I don't know, they don't go for old junky cars that are already banged up. They go for a new one. Wow, this is beautiful, this car here. And you come out and you can't believe that somebody, you know, did that. Gee, I just got this thing. Or you buy a new tie and you get spaghetti on it right away. You know, whatever. I mean, it just seems like life is built that way. Everything is going downhill. You know what I'm saying? You try to improve. You try to get up. The dirt is there every day. You clean the house. It's dirty the next day. I mean, what's going on? You know, or the kids come in. You clean up the toys. Pretty soon, it's just back to where it was. So there's a frustration to life here. You better get used to it that people are sinful. And until you go to heaven, where everything is not, it's going to be that way down here. So get used to it. If God could love you, you could love anybody. If God could love you as you are, really are, not just the persona that you put on, but who you really are, that God loves you unconditionally, no conditions to it. This is the book of Galatians. Now, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you started, chair 4, you started in the Spirit. In other words, you knew, God, I've sinned so badly, forgive me. And he forgives you, and then immediately you're messed up again. And here's the biggest messed up. It's not that you commit murder and adultery and, you know, break all the Ten Commandments. The biggest sin of all is that you're a hypocrite again. You went back to your old husband, the law. That law did not help you at all. It told you what to do, but it didn't help you. And it didn't forgive you. It didn't change you. It just told you sin and death. It was awful. So the law was a bad husband. Because the law said, I don't love you unless you do what I say. The law says you got to do what God says because that's the way he created you and that's what he expects. And you can't go to his heaven at all. And you're going to perish and die and burn up. Wow, that's a mean God. How many know God is mean? He set it up where there's no happiness or hope unless you're perfect. And then he must have a sense of humor. Because then he says, okay, that's okay. Since you didn't do it, I'll tell you what. Instead of killing you, I'm going to let you live. But living as a sinner, it may not be such a good thing. So here's what he says. I'm going to actually kill the law itself that stood against you. There won't be any law for me anymore. That's his left hand, by the way. I'm just going to withdraw my left hand altogether. And I'm just going to give you a free gift in my right hand. Can he do that? Can God be kind to somebody that doesn't deserve it? Can God be kind to somebody and give them equally everything, not this one more and this one less, give equally to everybody? You're the one that decides how it's going to be, not God. God will not give lesser gift to one and a greater gift to another. Everybody gets God's Son as a free gift. And everybody then gets God taking care of every sin in your life pride, anger, lust, envy, doubt, self-pity, fear. All of those, every day, he kills them, kills them, kills them. So that never go back to the law, never go back to two or to one. Never go back. So he says, no, I want you to go forward. And the book of Galatians saying, oh, foolish Galatians, you started in the Spirit. You got to chair four. Why did you stop at chair four? Why did you stop believing? You should have, you know, because if you stay here for more than a few minutes, you'll go back to chair two and one. You will. And all churches let people stay back. That's why they're lukewarm. That's why they're lukewarm. We create chair two big time. So in this church, I've told you that here's what you have to do is go through the hell, go through the fire, go through the suffering, whatever it is, because God will be with you. Now, how many know God's a spirit so the fire doesn't burn him? It's kind of like he has an asbestos suit on or something. And you going through it, ow, 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 you know, because when things go against you, you don't like it. But God says, no, 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 trust me, you need this fire to burn up all your sin. You trusted me here. Well, yeah, but you sent Jesus and he died and so on and so forth. But now we don't want to grow up. This was my heart, but I don't want my soul to be clean. I'll get rid of most of my sins, but I'm going to keep one or two favorites. How many have one or two favorites? You still have, let's say you have fear. How many still have fear? You don't have to have it. Remember Jesus said, I forgive that and I'm going to change it. I could take care of all that fear. How many want to fear anyway? You know, you're just used to it. It's familiar. How many have envy and you still have it? I wish I had what she has. I wish I had what he. You know, how come I get this? How many have self-pity? How many have anger? Well, I hate this. I hate it. Oh, that's good. He loves all those people. He loves all those people. And he's just saying, Jim, can I take anger out of your life? No. Make me mad. Don't. Okay. All right. I'm going to leave it. I'll check with you tomorrow. You were late today, you know. But anyway, so God doesn't care. God's love is so powerful. There's nothing in the universe like it. And nobody has this kind of love. Unconditional. No conditions. Doesn't care how many sins you sin. Kill his boy. Eat his tree. Do everything he says not to do. Do nothing of what he said to do. He still loves you. Adolf Hitler, I don't care who you could name. God loves them. Just as much as you. That's a good news. And that could cause me to love like he loves. But it doesn't. Not unless I've died. So I'm born in chair four to die in chair five to resurrect in chair six. Born to die to rise. Born to die to rise. The only reason I'm born is so I can then die. So the most loving thing he can do is birth you, give you eternal life, not temporal anymore. Not part of the law system anymore, not part of this world anymore, not part of the devil's world anymore, not part of anything negative. Now everything is, I'm a son of God. Chair four. Free gift. But now he wants to actually take away fear, envy, anger, lust, doubt. He wants to take away self-pity. He wants to take away everything in my life that would stand between me and him and me and the neighbor. Now, only God can do it. Again, he's asking your permission. Do you mind? I'm going to kill off this part of you. It's like cancer. I'm just going to cut it out. You don't need it. It's like something that's not good for you. I'm just going to take it away so you're pure. I want you, when it's all done, to be just like me. Christ-like, spirit, soul, body. Christ-like, spirit, soul, body. Your heart, your soul, your body, your life, everything. Then I'm going to take you and marry you. I will marry anyone who's a bride instead of a harlot. I don't want the harlot here. I wish you were cold, but because you're lukewarm and you've gone back to the law, because the sinner doesn't care about the law, he's lawless. But the hypocrite says, no, I'm trying. I'm gonna try to keep the law. I try to do what's right. What a liar you are. No, I mean it. I am. I've actually done very well. I could have done some bad things. I didn't do them. Well, thank God for you. You're such a blessing. You know what? It doesn't make any difference because God doesn't look at it that way. He looks at it, he doesn't see any difference between one and two. He just loves everybody. Amen? It's we haven't caught on to that yet. God wants us to be the same because you know what? It'll be a better world that way. You'll actually be happy, not in heaven. You'll be happy right here on earth with sinful people. He left you here deliberately so there'd be sinful people around. And thank God we have a whole church full of them. It's amazing. It's amazing. Tommy, thank God you're here. Thank God. You know what I mean? Completely. Yes. See, there it is. There it is. I love it. See, God doesn't see that. He's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't see this one better than that one worse than that one. He sees us all alike. And he then says to us, Jackie, you're going to love everybody here. If you could love everybody here, you could love anybody anywhere. Mm-hmm. If you could just love the people in this church, you could love anybody in the world. Mm-hmm. You could love anybody in the world. As a matter of fact, if you would do that, you wouldn't even go through the tribulation. Mm. Did you hear what I just said? Mm-hmm. This is in the Bible. If you actually could love your brothers and sisters in this church, just the one you're in, and who are all, they all have the same faith you do, you all get the same kind of teaching and so on and so forth. But if you could just love them as they are, not as they ought to be, but just as they really are, and you don't even know how bad they are. They're even worse than you imagine. But you hate them just for some little picayune thing, some speck, whereas actually they're capable of much worse. And if you just stay close to them, you'll find that out. Like, do not get married to somebody in church. Because you'll find out they're not great Christians at all. I don't know why young people do that. Young people fall for that every time. But he said he loved me. Fool. That's foolish. I don't know why girls keep, falling in love with guys. That is so silly. Don't they know that's another sinner? That's another imperfect person. So Galatians, I'm just giving you an introduction to Galatians. Galatians says, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? He calls it witchcraft. Who has deceived you? Why are you fooled? Why are you deceived? Why are you tricked? So let's see what he says. Let's see what he says here. Why is he saying these things? Here's why. Said, listen to it carefully. Because the truth is not in your eyes, Jesus Christ was written among you crucified. In other words, you're not looking at the fact that Jesus Christ was crucified for you so that then you could be crucified, not for him, but for yourself, because yourself is your biggest enemy. God is not your enemy. The devil's not your enemy. You, your own flesh, that's the enemy. And so here he has passively said, do nothing. And here he has said, do nothing. And here he has said, do nothing. I will do this, then I will do this, then I will do this. That's my promise. I will not quit until you are perfected. Now, how many believe that? So why would then someone get to this chair and not take the rest of it, which is awesome? Because now you're not only happy yourself, but you're blessing others. But if you don't do it, you'll fall back into chair two. Or worse, chair one. You'll apostatize. But you know what? Chair one is better to fall back into. Because at least somebody who knows they're a sinner and deliberately doing it, at least they could hear the good news. But somebody who thinks they're half good, they don't need it because I tried more than other people. I was better than one. So two thinks they're superior. The truth is, God loves both. The truth is, you and I can love sinners, hypocrites, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't matter. Because Christ was written that he was crucified among you. This only, Paul says, the writer, to learn from you. Here's the only thing I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law? Or did you receive it by hearing of faith? In other words, how did you become a Christian? Did you do it because you were wonderful and good? No. Okay, So you got it as a free gift. Yeah. I just heard it and I believed it. So if you had faith by hearing, that's the only way you can get it, then why now are you not interested, since you trust me here? Why don't you trust me here? I'm not forcing you, but why don't you trust me here? Go through the fire. You know what that's called? Discipleship. And I want to disciple every man in this church. Every man in this church. And I want to make sure you're dead to yourself, to your selfishness, to your sins, and so on. So I want to do is kill you. That's it. And it's an easy thing. You just allow me to put my hands around your throat. So there's nothing left. Amen? And it's actually not painful at all. Once you're dead, you hardly feel it at all. As soon as you're dead, you don't feel it. And here's the other deal. We don't do it for women. We're not interested in the women. Let them get the blessing. Forget them. Their problem is the man is not mature. So we're only after the men. So, Danny, you're the problem. Michelle, you're not the problem. Now, you haven't helped matters, but you're not the problem. You've contributed, you know, to your own misery. But you just brought out the worst in that guy right there. But God isn't mad about that, because he wants her to have all the blessings free, sit in chair 4. You don't even need to go 5 and 6. You don't need to do anything. Just wait for that guy to get ready and pray for his death. Just pray right now for your husband's death. Go ahead, just pray right there. Just look right at him and pray. Lord, kill him. Have Pastor Jim kill him. Is that okay if I kill him off? So all we're going to kill off is his flesh. We're not going to kill him physically. We're going to kill him psychologically so he doesn't run the show. Is that powerful? That's a beautiful gift to a woman. Do you see that? God doesn't want the woman, the wife, to bear the burden. Men are to bear the burden. That's what it means to be a man. If you're a real man, you go, hey, I'll take the burden. You get the blessing. Most men are not like that. Most men are like this. You take the burden, I'll get the blessing. Go get me another beer. And turn the TV, turn it to the other channel right there. And so most men are totally selfish. I know you're not, but most men are. I know you're not. But most men are. They're totally into themselves. They don't care what God says. They don't care about the law. They don't care about any of that. And they don't want the gospel part either. That's why they don't even want to come to church. Most men don't come to church. That is rare, because they know in this church, we're going to kill you. Amen? Tommy, for example, was hard to live with, Latrice, until we got a hold of him. But we just did him in, and he's fine now, happy now. Tommy, do you want to give a little testimony? But, amen. Because the deader you are, the happier you are. Because only Christ is alive then in you and through you. You see? The deader you are, the quicker you die. It isn't stop sinning. It's stop trying to help him. Stop trying to be nice. That's what he wants. Stop it. Because every time you think you're doing good, you're not. Stop maintaining the relationship. You know, how many know that most men quit quicker than women do? Women hold out longer for the man to, maybe he'll change. I hope he'll change. If I love him, I'm sure he'll respond. Has any woman ever tried that one? I know my love will change him. I know he's a little immature, but I'm going to marry him anyway because I'm sure my love will change him. That is a fool. That is a fool. That woman is foolish. Edie, did you ever think that of Jerry? You did? That's foolish. That was foolish. But you learned after a while that wasn't true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. See how smart she is? She learned. How long did it take you?
40-some years.
That's quick. That's actually quick. That's good. That's good. Some people never learn. So God laughs at all that stuff. That's why he provided Jesus, to say, let me just take care of it. The good news is that it's really good. It's better than anything man can imagine. That God would forgive you, then he would change you so that it didn't rule you anymore, and then He would actually love through you so that you would actually experience blessing others in the same way, so they would then repent, they would then believe, they would then submit, and they would then love. That's our purpose here on earth. The only reason for this church to exist, the only reason for this church to exist is to make sure that the men are all dead. I kind of short-circuited it there, but you get the idea. This is the good news. The Galatians book is all about this right here. We need the baptism. This is the baptism. This one is water baptism. This one is spirit baptism. You need to be baptized in the Spirit, who brings you the power to kill you and then to resurrect you. That's what his power is for. It's to kill you so that your flesh and the law and all of that is dead to you. You're dead to this world. You're dead to the law. You're dead to Satan. You're dead to everything in this world that you used to care about. Now, then, he resurrects you through love, and now you love everybody. You love everybody. So it's just the opposite. Now, God does all of that. That's a church. That's what the church is. And all we have to do is get them in. Amen? So, David, I'm after you. And I know that every once in a while you sin. Right? What, hourly is now? What are we down to?
Yeah, just once in a while.
Yeah, okay. Just once in a while. So we were working on a monthly schedule, one a month, but now he's back to an hourly one. But all right. So God doesn't want you to ever labor. The word for comfort and the word for repent is naham, which actually means rejoice. Be at rest. Be at peace. Comfort yourself. God's not angry. Comfort yourself. God's not mad at you for sinning. When you have a bad thought, discount it. Because Jesus Christ, I'm not saying sin. You're going to sin anyway. I'm not saying, oh, it's okay to sin. No, it's not. God doesn't want it. But he is not making you take care of it. He's taking care of it. All he wants you to do, now it's sin. Now the sin is no longer doing a sin. The sin is now not believing that Jesus Christ, who began a good work in me, would surely complete it until I'm perfect. Now that is powerful. That's the good news of Jesus Christ right there, is that he is not only a Savior, chair 4, he's a Lord, chair 5, and he's a bridegroom, chair 6. Because he wants to marry you, and he wants to take you not only to sit on the bridal throne, but he wants to take you eternally in heaven with him forever and ever, where there'll be no sin and there's no dust in heaven. I don't know if you know that. So you don't need to dust. That's amazing. And all the water will be clear. And all the streets will be gold and so on and so forth. It's a spiritual thing. It's not talking physically. It's not a painting. You can't paint this. He's just telling you that what you have in this world has been ruined because of man's sin. But that's okay. He's only doing that so you wake up and realize, who caused all this? Was it the devil? No. It isn't the devil that's our problem. It's God. We have to deal with God. Will I let God love me this way? 4, 5, 6. Will I let him love me to death? Did you ever hear that? I just love you to death. What he's wanting to do is love you so that there's nothing left of you except Jesus. Because he's your beloved. He's done everything to unite himself with you forever. No more devil, no more law, no more guilt, no more God's wrath, nothing. He took care of all of it. No fear, no nothing, nothing. God will provide all your needs according to his riches and glory. Now, to me, that's good news. Yeah. That's good news because I know I can't do it. And even if I could, I wouldn't do it anyway. I don't want to do it. There's something in me that just does not want to behave. There's something in me that doesn't want to do what God says. Is there anyone else here liketh unto me? Yeah, we're all like that. Everybody's like that. Everybody hates being good. I mean, I can only smile so long when the camera's like, I'm trying to pull it. And pretty soon I realize I'm turning grim because I can't hold it for a minute and a half or whatever. Peg, take the picture. I can't smile any longer. I don't know how. Where's Abigail? I don't know how she smiled during that play. That was awesome. She kept smiling up there on the throne. I felt so bad for her. It's like, it hurt. It hurt just to see her. She had to sit perfectly the whole time, you know, for what, 20, 30 minutes or something. She was just up there, you know, looking the same. So like, it hurts. Now, but here's the thing. Let God do it. You know, God can send you through anything you can make it. Why? Because God, if God be for you, who can be against you? If God is for you, who can be against you? If God is for you, he's on your side. He loves you. He doesn't care what you didn't do or did do. He loves you. That is too good. And it's one of the reasons we have a small church. If I would just preach more law, we'd have a bigger church. Behave yourself. If I do that, you'd think you'd drive people away. But actually, people love that kind of message. Pastor Jim, you stepped on my toes today. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to hit your head. Sorry about that. I was trying to get you dead. So we don't preach what you know, people want to hear. We preach the truth. The truth is that God loves you no matter what. He's never going to change his mind. For all eternity, even people that go to hell, they went on their own. They did not go because God said, all right, you have to go to hell because you are no good. That is not true. God never wanted the death of any sinner. Never. He takes no pleasure in the death of a sinner. It's not by his will. His will is all to be saved. He came down here so that everybody could be saved. And so it's exciting to me when you see people getting a hold of this truth. Now, who got a hold of it today? Debbie? Bill? Obo? Okay. Any more? Good. It's powerful. It's powerful. Now, let's have one testimony, just one, the best one, a good one, really a good one. But just make it up then. Just say it was good. Danny, stand up.